We celebrate today the feast of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. This is a dogma of our faith, that Our Lady was conceived without original sin, and that she never had any sin on her soul for even the shortest instant, whether original sin or actual sin. Even though this was only defined as a dogma in the 19th century, it is a belief that goes back to the very beginning of the Church and was held almost universally by the great fathers and doctors of the Church. It is something that only stands to reason. The very thought of Our Lady having any sin on her soul, despite being the Mother of God, is incomprehensible to us, and it seems impossible. We only have to think of the great honor that Our Lady would be deprived of, and what a terrible shame would be attached to her if she were ever a slave of the devil, for even the shortest instant. All we have to do is to think about the great evil of original sin, and the terrible misery and wretchedness of a soul that is in that state, to be able to reject the idea that the Mother of God could ever have been in that state. Everything that is horrible and disgusting in this world is nothing in comparison with the great evil of sin on the soul. But anything that is even physically gross, like a worm or a bug of some kind, is still something created by God and is good in its own nature, whereas sin is something that God did not create, and it is a form of attack against God. Sin makes our soul an enemy of God and an object of horror to the holy angels. It makes us like some sort of a monster that doesn't even deserve to be on this earth. Sin makes us a slave of the devil. If someone in the state of sin could see the ugliness of his soul, he would try to run away from himself. He wouldn't be able to bear the ugliness of his own soul. It is impossible for us to imagine Our Lady ever being in such a condition. When the fathers of the Church try to describe the state of a soul before it's baptized, they can hardly even come up with words to explain the fearful condition that it's in, and its miserable and wretched state and how ugly it is. The strongest thing they can say about a soul in the state of original sin is that it's hated and rejected by God, who is infinitely good. St. Augustine said that the soul in original sin is the object of the divine anger. And St. Paul said that such a soul is a child of wrath. St. Gregory of Nyssa explains that it's true that God is an inexhaustible fountain of mercy and goodness, and he is an absolute abyss of love. And yet, just by having original sin on someone's soul, God has a just reason to be angry with that person. Someone like that is an abomination in the sight of God, and God is disgusted to see that sin on that person's soul. Before baptism, a person is an object of horror even to God himself, so that if he dies in that state, God must reject that person forever, despite his infinite goodness. Of course, God will not inflict any physical pain on that person, but at the same time, he will never allow that person ever to behold him face to face in the beatific vision. This is why it's so important to baptize children as soon as possible, to bring their souls into the state of sanctifying grace, so that if they die as infants, they will go to heaven and not go to limbo. Certainly, the human race is under a terrible curse because we come into the world already so guilty. But of course, it's far worse when people commit their own sins and add to their guilt. But we start out our life in this world already as the enemies of God. This is something that even in the Old Testament, the holy man Job was well aware of. He understood this so clearly that he even cursed the day that he was born. He said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, a man-child is conceived. Because he knew that he was conceived in sin, and that he was a sinner at the very first moment of his life. He was the object of God's hatred and anger. So we certainly can't say about Our Lady that she would ever have been in such an unhappy condition. She was never the slave of the devil. She was never the object of the wrath of God or under any sort of curse. Not even for the shortest instant. Because she was going to be the mother of God. How could God ever take human flesh from someone that was a slave of the devil or had ever been in such a condition? In the Psalms, King David prophesied that glorious things would be said about Our Lady. But if Our Lady had ever been the slave of the devil, then how would we ever be able to say anything glorious about her? Any praise that we would give her would always be marred by this terrible stain that she had once been the slave of sin and the slave of the devil. And that is something that would never be able to be effaced if it were true. Original sin on her soul would be something that, in a sense, would last forever, even after she was cleansed of it, not the sin itself, obviously. But we would not be able to say that she had never been the slave of the devil. No matter how holy and exalted she would have been later in her life, we would always have to admit that she had once been in the clutches of the devil. We could say that she was the most chaste mother of God, but we would also have to admit that she had once been defiled by sin. We could say that she was full of grace, as Saint Gabriel told her at the Annunciation, but we would also have to say that that was not always true. We could say that the Lord is with thee, as Saint Gabriel said. But if she ever had had original sin, then at one point, the Lord would have been against her. If we say, blessed art thou among women, we would also have to admit that at one point she had been cursed like everyone else. And we would not be able to say, as the Canticle of Canticles says about Our Lady, thou art all fair, O my love, and there is no spot in thee. Because at one point, she would have been even similar to the demons of hell, because of the sin on her soul. And the symbols that describe Our Lady in Scripture would also not make sense either if she had ever been in original sin. Scripture compares Our Lady to a lily among thorns. How could she be called a lily if she had once been a thorn herself? Or how could she be a sealed garden if the devils had found an entrance into her soul? In Scripture, she is called a vessel of honor. But how could we call her that if she had once been a vessel of guilt and corruption? And how could the holy angels honor someone as their queen who had once been subjected to the power of the devil, whom the angels had cast out of heaven? The angels themselves had never been subject to the devil. On the contrary, they defeated him. It would be completely unfitting for the queen of the angels to have been defeated by the devil herself. It's unthinkable for all of these reasons that Our Lady could ever have been the slave of the devil, that she could possibly ever have been conceived in sin. And these are all reasons why the Church would define this teaching as a dogma of faith. But this is also a belief that goes back to the very beginning of the Church itself, to the apostles. It is part of tradition. It is not just one of the fathers of the Church that teaches this doctrine, but it was practically all of them. And this belief was not confined to just one area, but it was almost universal. This has been believed throughout all Christendom by so many saints and pious souls, and even by entire nations. And people have defended this belief since long before it was ever defined as a dogma by the church. People even took an oath to defend the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, even to the point of shedding their blood. In fact, in the liturgy of the apostles themselves, we see this mentioned. St. James the Less said in his liturgy of the Mass that Our Lady was immaculate and faultless in every respect. St. Matthew said about Our Lady, O Blessed Mary, thou wert not conceived in sin. And St. Thomas the Apostle says of Our Lady, thou wert not condemned with all others on account of the sin of Adam. This is in the ancient liturgies of the Mass that these apostles composed. And St. Matthew also said, O Immaculate Mary, the Holy Ghost has protected thee from eternity. If we have even several of the apostles themselves telling us that Our Lady was conceived without original sin, we have almost the unanimous opinion of the fathers of the church, and again, long before the church told us that this was part of our faith, they already knew that it was true. It would be almost impossible to quote all of the fathers of the church that taught and defended this doctrine. But you can read in St. Jerome, St. Cyprian, St. Anselm, in the early church, that they believed in the Immaculate Conception. And then in the Middle Ages, St. Bonaventure, St. Dominic, St. Peter Damian, and numerous others continue the tradition that Our Lady was never stained with any sin, and she was exempt from the common inheritance of original sin. In the 4th century, St. Augustine said, when he was talking about original sin, he said that we are all conceived in sin except Our Lady. He said, I don't even want to mention her when there is any question of sin. He didn't want to mention her in the same sentence as that word. It was something unthinkable to him. St. Denis the Areopagite said that if he ever saw Mary, he would probably adore her as God, except for the fact that his faith taught him otherwise. He was so filled with admiration at her great privileges and her glory. This would be incomprehensible to say about someone who had been a sinner. But we are blessed now to live after the definition of this dogma, which confirms what the vast majority of fathers and doctors of the church of every age have known instinctively, which is that it is divinely revealed that Our Lady was conceived without original sin. And therefore, if someone would ever deny this, he would automatically stop being a member of the church, and he would be a heretic. But who could ever imagine someone saying or even thinking such a thing? And what a great honor it is for us to, as poor children of Adam, who all of us were conceived in sin, that we have a spiritual mother who was never infected with the least stain of sin at all. It's a comforting thought for us sinners that we have someone who can help us and protect us, and someone that we can go to as our refuge, who overcame all sin, who was never subject to sin in even the slightest degree, even without her own cooperation. We are surrounded by so many dangers to our soul, and we are constantly being enticed to commit sin by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we have a powerful protectress in Our Lady, someone who is completely unvanquished by sin. But we should not just be the friends of Our Lady only by our words or honor her just by our lips. We have to follow her example and remove all sin from our lives as well, and never consent to commit any sin or even be near the occasions of sin. We should do this with the help of God's grace, and by asking Our Lady to help us, and she certainly will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.